Today is a joyful day for St. Elias, as for the whole church, as we see the completion of the baptismal grace of two servants of God. The sacrament, or holy mystery as we call it in the East, that you just witnessed, is the ancient concluding ceremony and prayer of the baptism. In the early church, until today in the East still, ordinarily children or adults are baptized and then immediately chrismated or confirmed, whichever word you want to use. And this is the second part of the baptismal service, the water baptism and then the laying on of hands with the holy oil accompaniment. Saint Cyprian in North Africa, a Western saint, refers to these two sacraments as the double sacrament, singular. The double sacrament, singular. Baptism and chrismation always were done ideally together. With the expansion of the church after the legalization of Christianity, the church spread throughout the world, of course. Here we are today. And with the expansion of dioceses, it was not able for a bishop to always be at every single baptism. In the East, this problem was resolved by allowing the priest to be the ordinary minister of the sacrament of confirmation, so that no child would leave the baptismal font without having completed, as the Catholic Catechism says, their baptismal grace. Until confirmation takes place, while an individual has been baptized, their baptismal grace is incomplete. In the West, the concern for showing the connection of the apostolic faith with the local bishop caused the sacrament of chrismation or confirmation to remain primarily with the bishop, and he being then the ordinary minister of the sacrament in the West. Though in the West, even since the early church until today, priests have always been allowed to, and in fact in some cases are required, to minister confirmation or chrismation in the absence of the bishop. You're familiar maybe with this at an Easter vigil, if any of you have attended an Easter vigil in the Roman Catholic Church. You'll see sometimes at a local parish, baptism of a whole family. Well, the bishop can't be at every church that night in the entire diocese in the West. So on that night, typically, the pastor of the church administers the sacrament of confirmation. And you'll note it immediately follows baptism. The sacrament is also required of a priest in the West to administer even to infants in the event that there is fear of death. Most people do not know that if they're in the hospital and they hear someone call for a priest because a little child or a baby who was just born needs the priest, he might be dying. The priest comes running, he opens up his emergency kit, he pulls out holy water, baptizes the baby, and then has with him always the sacred chrism, and he confirms or chrismates the baby as well. This is required of him in canon law in the West. And it had to be put into law because there was so much confusion over this in the West of whether the priest was allowed to do this. Rather, the priest is required to do this, for the church yearns that none of her children leave this world without having completed their baptismal grace, as the Catholic Catechism says. Today you saw the completion of baptism with Fabian and Salvatore. Immediately after chrismation in the early church, until today in the West, the newly illumined, baptized and chrismated, would then enter into the baptismal service, which completes in the divine liturgy. As we just saw today, we are now going to continue the divine liturgy to prepare for the reception of Holy Communion. In the early church, East and West, anyone who had been baptized and confirmed would then receive Holy Communion. In fact, confirmation was understood so much to be the doorway to which someone, through which someone would receive Holy Communion, that as the communion of children began to be delayed in the last few centuries in the West, that confirmation began to be delayed as well. If they weren't going to receive communion that day, then there was no need to confirm them. So, eventually, as some of you know, in the West, starting in France a few centuries ago, confirmation was put after First Communion, and then that practice has kind of spread, tragically, throughout the West. Though in many dioceses in the Roman Catholic Church today, they are attempting to restore the traditional order of the sacraments, baptism and confirmation and Eucharist, as we still have it in the East. I said to you that the chrismation, this mystery, is a doorway to the reception of Holy Communion. Because this is why we baptize. This is why we confirm. Baptism and chrismation is traditionally done somewhere in the back of the church or outside of the church. If you go to Rome and visit one of the old churches, you'll find the baptistry is somewhere in the entryway or, ideally, in a separate building outside the front doors. That is where baptism and chrismation were done. And the baptistry is often in what we would think today, the wrong spot. It's blocking the way to get in. Tourists are coming and they have to go around this octagonal building. Who put this here? And then they go into the church to look at the pretty pictures and take pictures and move on. Well, who put that there was the tradition of the church. The tradition of the church puts the baptismal font, the baptistry where baptism and chrismation take place, blocking the doors of the church. Because the connection of what we do in here and what we do out there in that baptismal font is intimate. One who has been baptized and chrismated is then led into the church singing, Galatians 3:27, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ like a garment. They are clothed again in the grace of God, like Adam and Eve of old. But now the grace of Jesus Christ. They are now refashioned into the image and likeness of God through His eternal Son, as Paul says in his 8th chapter in the letter to the Romans. And so now, having been recreated, refashioned into the image and likeness of God, having the breath of life, the Spirit, breathed into their nostrils again, coming back into life and having entered into the Garden of Eden on earth, they are welcomed to the holy table, to the tree of life, to receive the fruit of the tree of life, that is the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is why, universally in the church, except for some places more recently, but universally in the church, communion was always given to every chrismated individual. Because it is the Eucharist which causes their physical, bodily resurrection at the end of time. the idea of being understanding what you're about to receive. This was a tragic confusion among the faithful, not ordained by the church, but it developed at a popular level. And so today there is the idea often among people that you have to understand what you are receiving in order to receive. This has resulted in a number of tragedies I've encountered even in my own life, where a family comes to me and says, the priest won't let my child receive communion because he's autistic. And the priest said he just doesn't yet understand what he's receiving. Well, how long will you delay that child from receiving the fruit of the tree of life? How long will you delay that child from receiving that which gives them bodily resurrection at the end of time? How long will you prevent them from receiving what Jesus says to be given to the little children? Hinder not the little ones to come unto me, he says. And so, we receive his body and blood so that we may be raised from the dead. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He has trampled down death by death, and to those in the tombs, that was us, he has given life. He has given life. So that we may be raised up on the last day. And so the church has always understood baptism, chrismation, and the Holy Eucharist in that order as really one great sacrament, one great mystery. The restoration of fallen man to the Garden of Eden, to the bosom of God, to a harmonious relationship with his Creator, to live with him for all eternity in paradise. This was God's plan from the beginning, and his plan will not be thwarted. And so we rejoice with the Gomez family today. St. Elias Church does, his family, all of the church, all of the body of Christ. For two more servants of God have entered into communion with its life. Jesus Christ is now their head. They are members of his body. And glory be to him with his eternal Father, and his all holy and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.